Whether or not to have kids is one of the biggest decisions people can make. You can buy a house and you can sell it. You can get married, you can get a divorce. But with kids, there's really no return policy. Some people know they want kids, some people know they don't, but there are a lot of people in the middle, and it can be hard to weigh the pros and cons when you can't really know what you're getting into. If that's you, good news. There's some help out there in making that big decision. Hannah Seligson is a New York City-based journalist who writes about culture, politics, and gender, among other things. She's the author of the recent New York Times article, Scared to Be a Parent. Hannah, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
And Merle Bamaderi is a clinical social worker and the author of the book, The Baby Decision, How to Make the Most Important Choice of Your Life. She also runs a day-long workshop in Massachusetts to help potential parents work through their decision. Merle, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Hannah, why did you want to take a closer look into this zone of people, the people on the fence about having kids and what goes into that decision?
Because this was me. For 6 years, my husband and I debated whether to have a child. Spoiler alert, I did have a child. She's 8 months today, and I'm not returning her. But it was, I mean, in all seriousness, it was a very wrenching, painful process. And I wish I had known about these resources. I myself did not use Merle's book or any of the other resources I talk about in the article. I wish I had known about them. And I think the conventional wisdom in society is that if you don't know, then that means you shouldn't have children. And what I think that Merle and a lot of the other people in this space are challenging is that that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have children and that it's a much more complicated, introspective process than just yes or no. And people have to go through a series of questions and some real soul searching to decide.
And Merle, Hannah was not alone. A lot of people are in this maybe zone, right?
Yes, a lot of people are in the maybe zone. And one of the biggest problems is that they think that they need to be pretty sure in either direction. What I tell people is it makes sense to be scared about this decision. The word decide comes from a Latin root, which means to cut away from. So every decision involves loss. So when people say, what's the matter with us? Why can't we decide? Once you decide to be child-free, you're giving up all the joys that parenthood would bring. Once you decide to have a child, you're looking at a lot of giving up quiet, meditation, control, spontaneity. It makes sense to be scared. So people often have a leaning, and they're even afraid to say it because they think they're flip-flopping. So I say 60-40 is a decision. When 60-40 you're leaning one way and 40 the other way, that is the beginning of a decision. People shouldn't panic. Now, you're not going to call it a decision until it evolves into 70-30 or 80-20 by doing workshops, reading, talking to people, and so on. But people are terrified of making this decision because they think that they're going to lose everything about the other choice. So I ask people to figure out which decision do you think you'll regret least, because you're going to lose something either way. And that really helps people to think it through. And there's also the issue that if you decide to have a child, knowing that you want some of the freedom of being child-free, you can plan. So instead of sweeping the doubts under the rug, you can say, how can I steal a little bit of what I really value from the other side? And for instance, I do in my workshop an empty chair technique in which I have someone speak between the part of themselves that is absolutely certain, I want a child, and in the other chair they speak and say, are you crazy? We're definitely going to be child-free. And what happens back and forth is so interesting. Once people make a decision, they think they're going to sweep the other thing under the rug. And I say, don't do that, because everything that you wanted about the other choice is going to give you the clues to how you can be happy as a child-free person but still have some sense of family and nurturance and vice versa. So rather than just saying, oh, my God, I have to give everything up here, there's, okay, what little pieces can I add? So child-free people, how can I, maybe nurture my nieces and nephews? And for people who are going to be parents, what absolutely matters to me most that I think I'm giving up? Meditation, exercise, travel, whatever. So I start making the decision more fluid for people when they don't feel like they have to absolutely know. It doesn't have to light up in neon.
And Hannah, I think you mentioned in your reporting that we have kind of a new group, or not completely new, but a growing group of people who wait longer to have kids. This was me, actually, 15, 16 years ago. And so they have a lot of experience having a grown-up life without kids. Is that weighing on this decision, Hannah, among the people you talk to?
Yes. And so I think here, you know, there are a lot of internal and external factors. So, yes, people have it just takes longer to reach the milestones of adulthood. People get married later. They reach a financial security later. All of these things happen sometimes well into one's 30s. And so there is just a period where you are on your own. And so I think the transition into parenthood can be more jarring, and there's just more time also to consider it. But one thing that I did find very interesting about the approach that a number of these programs take is that it isn't supposed to be an external process, at least initially, that you're supposed to look internally and really not talk about whether you should have children or talk about that with other people, you know, outside of the group of people that you're working with, or if you're working one-on-one with a counselor, and that you're supposed to sort of tune out things like money and societal pressure and family pressure. And, you know, sort of in retrospect, I can see how that would have been very helpful to sort of just find your intuition about it. On the other hand, I'll be on the other side. I do have to say that, you know, things like biology and finances do factor in. So it's, as you know, reporting it and living it myself, I do see it as this very complicated alchemy of both this internal and external process.
Yeah, Merle, I want to talk about maybe the social pressures and how, if it's possible to tune them out, what your parents want, what your friends and colleagues and generation mates want. Is it really possible to take out that kind of static in making this decision for ourselves?
I don't think it is. I think what is important is that you do give yourself some time when you're asking what you want. There's also the pressure from your partner. If your partner wants something else, that can be such a distraction. So sometimes when people feel they could go either way, they just let their partner decide. And that is a very, very bad way of doing things, because you can't be fully on board if you haven't thought through what appeals to you and doesn't appeal to you about both choices. So when I do my workshops, we do start in the morning making a list of the stereotypes of people who are child-free, the stereotypes of parenting, why people make those choices. And we talk a lot about pressures. So I guess one really important thing to say is that there are a lot of people, unfortunately, including mental health professionals, who think that all mentally healthy people have children, and that the only people who choose to be child-free are people who had a terrible childhood, or there's something else that doesn't function right in their personality. This is absolutely not true. There are many super mentally healthy people who have the courage to choose to be child-free and the courage to pursue things like environmental or political causes or right or art and not start a family so that they can do their best. So it doesn't, a lot of people are dealing with that pressure. So their friends and their brothers and sisters want them to have children that they can play with and all be nieces and friends together. Parents, of course, want grandchildren. And it is a lot of people who are leaning towards child-free are terrified to tell their parents that they're thinking about being child-free. So I would say at every workshop I do, we spend at least half an hour on communicating with family if you are choosing to be child-free.
And Hannah, does it look to you like it's a common situation as you talk to professionals that it's we often have the one partner who does want kids, the other one who doesn't, which can be a relationship deal breaker?
Yeah, in the reporting that I did for this, which was a small sample size, that wasn't necessarily the dynamic. But what I wanted to add, too, is that I think society and all parents who are pressuring their children to have kids also need to sort of look at the increased burden that it is both financially and just professionally to have children now. We don't have paid leave. We don't have great childcare policies and resources in this country. And so I think that's also factoring into a lot of people's decisions. And I'd be interested to hear from Merle whether she sees that as well in her groups, that just people are also feeling the weight of the lack of support in society.
Merle, do you see that?
Oh, I do see that. And, it's so interesting how many people who have worked for American companies but in Europe have had this wonderful time combining career and parenthood. And then they're transferred back to the United States and they suddenly discover this life is unlivable. Childcare is too expensive. There's no paid maternity leave. How are we going to do this? And so we are the only industrialized nation that doesn't provide excellent support for new parents. So that is a major issue. And there's also, with the millennial generation, and Hannah's written a number of books about this, with taking loans for more and more expensive tuition, trying to pay off those loans, trying to get jobs when the millennials came out of school, the job market wasn't very good. So they have all of the financial pressures. Can we afford this? Plus, we have all the environmental concerns. What kind of world is this to bring a child into? And so there are many, many things that are weighing on decision makers in 2018 that were not when I first started doing this work in the 1980s.
We're talking about the process of deciding to have kids or not with Merle Bombadieri, a clinical social worker and author of the book The Baby Decision, and Hannah Seligson, a journalist who recently covered this issue for the New York Times. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Was this you? Have you had a point in your life where you're trying to decide whether or not to have kids? You see pros and cons on both sides. How did you make that decision? How are you, if you're there now, how are you trying to make that decision? What are your hopes? What are your fears as you think this through? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with journalist Hannah Seligson and Merle Bombadieri, clinical social worker and author, talking about deciding whether or not to have children and some of the fears and decisions that come along with that. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you in the midst of trying to make up your mind whether or not to have kids? Or did you go through this process? What did you decide? How did you decide? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Heather is with us in Madison. Heather, hello.
Oh, hey, hi. Nice to talk to you guys. So I have a slightly different perspective on this. I'm going to caveat this, that I'm 44 years old, and my oldest is 21, and my youngest is 15. So I would just like to flip the conversation on its head, being that I have friends that have little tiny children that are the same age as I am, and I'm looking at them going into their 60s when their kids are going to be my kids' age. And I feel like now that, since I had my kids right after I finished college, I still have 20 years of like duty-free adulting ahead of me before, I feel like I'm going to be elderly. So,
Heather, thanks a lot for the call and sharing your experience. Merle, things have changed now that more people aren't like Heather, not having kids that young.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that I would imagine that some of Heather's friends went through years of infertility and were actually trying. If they're becoming parents in their 40s, they might have started at 31 or even 29 and been through many, many years of infertility and would have preferred to start sooner. There are also the people who didn't find a partner as early as they wanted to, or in order to get established in their career, they weren't able to start when they wanted to. So not everybody that has kids in their 40s really had that as the first choice. So one of the things that they say is, yes, it's hard to start now. We're older. We can't run up and down football fields. But we would rather be older parents than miss out entirely. And we also find that older parents have a lot of perspective. They do very well with being mixed with younger generation parents. They have a lot of patience and perspective. And to be an older parent back in the 50s or 60s meant that you had no idea what young children or teenagers were doing. Now our society is a lot more integrated. And so people who are in their 40s are able to get down on floors. They're more physically fit. They want to be playful. They're playful in their own weekends and travel even before they have a child. So, yes, you have the great advantage that you've got these years ahead when you're in excellent health. And that's a great, great advantage. But not everybody is able to do that. And also, I don't think I mentioned, some people come from very difficult childhoods. And by the time they've had enough therapy to both be able to find a partner who would be a good parent and for them to feel ready to parent, they may be in their 40s, even though they wished they had started in their 30s.
Thanks a lot for that call, Heather. Go ahead, Hannah.
Oh, and if you just also, if you look, just to piggyback on what Merle said, if you look at the research on millennials, they have a mentality, and I think this can go both ways, that they really want to have their ducks in a row before they get married and before they have children. And, you know, you could ask, well, what does that mean? When are you ever sort of ready? And I heard from, you know, some of the women I interviewed for the piece that said, you know, well, I felt like I had to have a house of a certain size. And, you know, it can be a way of just delaying a decision. But I think ultimately it is a very prudent mentality because they want to be prepared. They want to be ready and economically and professionally secure before they take on such a big decision and responsibility as having a child.
We'll go now to Dan with us in Lake Mills. Dan, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. I wanted to ask if you ever ask people about introversion versus extroversion, because for me, I have four kids ranging from 10 months to 17 years old. And my life is not my own. Like,
wow,
from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day, I'm just going at it. I don't have, you know, I'm not on the volleyball team. I'm not on the baseball team. I don't have a favorite show. It's just, I'm just working the grind. And there's, like, awesome joys to it. But I just think that that would be one consideration. And I often, like, wonder, like, what about having one child as, like, the compromise and, like, how popular is that these days? Because, you know, you can't replace having a child. Like, there's, like, the joy and like, you know, watching someone develop speech and the movement. There's just no substitution for that.
But I'm going to jump in, Dan, because you gave us a lot to talk about there. First, Merle, do you see this, the introvert thing that Dan brought up? You know, I'm kind of an introvert myself. I do like to have that downtime as a parent. Yeah, you give up some of that. Is that a concern people have?
It is a concern that people have. I do believe it's true that people who are strong introverts are a little more likely to choose to be child-free, but there are also introvert parents who are very happy to be parents. They might have just one child to be more one-on-one, or they might really want to plan ahead to have their quiet time, reflective time, meditation time, and all of that kind of thing. I do want to jump in about the one child because that's very important. One of the things that I say in my workshop is you do not have to decide between zero and two. How can you, if you're terrified and not sure you're going to want one child, think that if you have one, you have to have another so the child won't be unhappy or spoiled? Research shows that one-child families, the children are very mentally healthy. They do extremely well, and they are also high achievers. A one-child family is a great way for a two-career couple to be less tied down for fewer years, to be able to experience the best of both worlds. And unfortunately, there are many people who would like to have two or three kids who are having only one, either because of the environment or because of the factors Hannah was talking about, that they simply can't afford to have more than one, and they're not even sure they can have that one.
And Hannah, in looking at this this kind of industry of helping people decide, was it always, should we have a kid? Or are some people out there wondering, should we have another kid as they seek advice?
Yes, I've heard that, and I do think Merle's right that people feel like if they've won, they need to have two. But also, you know, the research shows that particularly for women, one child is sort of the magic number where you can keep your career, you can sort of have it all. That is the sweet spot, and it's really with the second child that the wheels fall off and that it's harder to balance work and life and everything. So, you know, it just, I think it goes to the kind of nature of this decision that everything is seen in such extreme terms. It's either two children or zero children, or it's either you know or you don't know. And there's just a lot of gray area, much more fluidity in this conversation and decision complexion.
And Merle, I wanted to get into that point that Hannah just made as we start to wrap up, the idea that you either know or you don't know. Well, clearly there is the possibility of not knowing but arriving at a decision.
Okay. I think that maybe there is, I really don't know percentages, but maybe 25% of people of childbearing age know that they do want to have kids, and 25% know that they don't. But it's a big 50% who see good things about both. And that's really wisdom because, as I said, decide means cut away from. You're going to lose a lot, whichever you decide. And it makes sense to take time with this. So people who are usually very fast decision makers may be trashing themselves or their partner, why haven't we decided sooner? But there's no harder decision. If I ask you, do you want this job? You have to do it for 20 years. You don't get paid for it. It's 24/7. It makes sense to take time and slow down and get it sorted out.
In our last few minutes, Hannah, can I ask about your personal story? You did make this decision. You have an 8-month-old, I think you said. Was there one factor that finally nudged you in that direction?
Yes, and I was going to talk about that. If there was one factor, it was definitely age, the sort of biological clock. I'm 36. I turned 35 last summer, and I felt like, all the research showed that it was time, and so I think I needed that push. But I wouldn't say that was the one definite factor that pushed me, but if I had to sort of isolate something. My friend also said something very funny to me, which I think is true. She said, Hannah, just have the child so you can stop angsting about it. And there is truth to that, but I also will just say one thing, too, that I think anyone who says that there's not mixed feelings on either side, once you have a child or you don't have a child, you're always going to feel like maybe you're missing out on something, and that's just normal.
That's a good place to leave it. Thanks to both of our guests, Hannah Seligson, journalist and author, and Merle Bombadieri, clinical social worker, author of the book The Baby Decision. They join us to talk about the fears people have of becoming parents and the people who have a tough time deciding one way or the other and how people choose, the factors they weigh, what goes into the biggest decision that a person can make.